On this episode of Warbird Radio Presents, we sit down with retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral DeWitt Freeman. Stay tuned. Warbird Radio Presents, the Admiral Freeman story starts now.
Ready room from flight control. Pilots, man your plane.
While the flat top turned into the wind, the pilots prepared for the takeoff.
Start engine.
Each man on the ship had a specific assignment. No matter how small, each job had to be performed without a hitch, or the entire operation would be upset. Finally, with its wings unfolded and locked into place, the lead plane was all set to go.
He spent over 32 years in the United States Navy, enlisting during World War II as a naval aviation cadet, and finishing his career with the rank of Rear Admiral. Along the way, he flew Wildcats off paddle wheel carriers in Lake Michigan, and eventually commanded an entire carrier battle group. Today, he spends his time watching over the Louisa County, Virginia airport, which in 1984 was dedicated Freeman Field in his honor. Here now is Admiral Freeman.
I was born in Hutchinson, Kansas, in 1924, October 24th, 1924. So,
you're a spring chicken these days, huh?
I've been around a long time.
Well, Admiral, how did you get interested in aviation? And was it a childhood dream that you had, or
right from the very beginning?
Yeah,
I was nuts about model airplanes, and I flew models, and I was pretty successful. I had some good models that won prizes and made records. So
now these would have been free flight models, no radio control at that point, I guess.
No. One of them was a gas model, and that one got away from me. On the first launch, I didn't have enough money to buy the ignition timer. It only cost $2. That's how little money I had when I was young. But in any case, I figured I could just look at the tank, since it was plastic, and just turn it loose when it had just a little bit of gas left in it. Well, I didn't take into account how fast
It was going to go, huh?
How that thing could climb. And it, in a couple of heartbeats, it disappeared into an overcast.
Wow.
Directly over my head. And I could still hear the engine pouring out power. I couldn't see the airplane anymore.
All that time and money went right up into the clouds there.
Yeah, and my mom had loaned me the money to buy the engine. She couldn't believe it, but I lucked out. My mom went up to Champaign, Illinois, which is about 30 miles from where we lived, and near where I launched the airplane. She saw one of her friends in a grocery store up there, and she mentioned this airplane to her. Lo and behold, it turned out this lady had gotten my airplane.
She found it.
It came down on their farm.
Wow.
And so when my mom came home that evening, there's my airplane sitting on the kitchen table.
Now, what did you think about that when you...
Just luckier than hell. How in the world could I possibly have done that?
Right.
But I did get the ignition timer after that. I invested another $2 in the thing.
It was an expensive airplane back then.
That didn't happen anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've been lucky... Been lucky your whole run, your whole career there. You flew in World War II and managed to survive. To survive that, and then had a wonderful career in the Navy.
I didn't see any combat in World War II. I didn't get subjected to any combat at all.
Well, a lot of guys didn't survive training back then.
I mean, yeah.
What did you fly back then? What were you trained up?
Fighters. Mm-hmm. I flew Wildcats to begin with, mm-hmm. and then Hellcats, and Bearcats, the F-8F, and then finally we got the F-9F, mm-hmm. which was a jet.
Right.
And finally we got the F-4, which was a real big jet.
Mm-hmm.
And a Mach 2 airplane.
Right.
Twin engine. Double ugly, as they said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The F-4 was a beautiful airplane.
Well, let's settle the debate right now. A lot of guys that are listening to this, they're going to want to know from a guy who's flown them all, which cat did you like better, the F-4 or maybe the F-8, the Bearcat? Was there a difference? Did one stand out in your mind with the big cats?
Well,
don't want to leave the Hellcat out.
Both of them
either.
Were good. All of Grumman's airplanes were good airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
But the F-8F was the most fun. Because
that's what everybody says. They all love the Bearcat.
And it had the same big engine as the F-6 did,
mm-hmm.
but a little bitty airplane. I think it only weighed 10,000 pounds. And then still had the R2800 engine in it.
You could win a lot of races in that airplane.
Yeah. A wonderful airplane.
And where were you flying at when you were... Where were you flying these airplanes at? You didn't see...
Point Magoo.
Point Magoo, okay.
I was at the Naval Missile Air Test Center at Point Magoo, California. That's where I got married and settled down.
Well, I'm sure all of these stories are in your book here, A Life in Three Elements, a recollection of a naval aviation cadet, and you've put it all in this book that I'm looking at right here.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I want to mention right off the top is that after your career, your son also had a career flying, and even your grandson, your three generations in your family of military aviators.
Yeah.
How did... Talk to us about that. I know there's a great sense of pride there.
Well, it was something the kids decided that they wanted to do. And when my son Gary while he was in high school, he started talking about getting an appointment to the Naval Academy. And, of course, I started working on doing it, and I got him appointed. He went through the Naval Academy. And my daughter, she was a naval aviator. She went through flight training and became a naval aviator.
So not only your son, but also your daughter. We don't want to leave her out.
No, and as a matter of fact, she's spent 13 years, I think it was, in the Navy. And then she got out, and she now flies for American Airlines.
Wow.
She flies on the Intercontinental Circuit for American Airlines.
Goes international, the big hops, as you say.
Yeah.
Wow. ever would have imagined all of this happening. Quite a life from Hutchinson, Kansas, as they say, huh?
Yeah.
Talk about your career a little bit more. We want to round this out. Obviously, you did rather well. You became an admiral in the U.S. Navy. Anything stand out to you? What, as far as commands that you might have had, anyone in particular that really you really enjoyed? I know there were some you probably didn't enjoy, but...
Oh, I enjoyed them all, believe it or not. Every one of them was useful to me. For instance, I felt really bad when I wanted to go to a squadron and continue being a fighter pilot.
Right.
And they sent me to ship a carrier, and they made me the aircraft handling officer. Well, now, I just hated that. But at the time, I didn't realize that the Navy was rounding me out and showing me all aspects that it took to operate an aircraft carrier. And now I look back on it, it was invaluable training. Invaluable. That I not only understood how to move the airplanes around, respot the deck and get them ready for the next launch and all that, but I understood how it was done and what was possible and what was impossible. And so it rounded out my career. I became quite an expert on carriers as a result.
I'm sure you had command of a few in your...
Yes,
in
I
your
did. Name. I had Saratoga when I was a commanding officer of a ship. And after that, I had a carrier group, which was four aircraft carriers. I had the Independence and the Saratoga, the America, and one other that I can't remember, but anyway.
We'll think of it right after we leave.
I had four ships, yeah. And that was a good job, I knew.
That's a lot of responsibility. I mean, you're responsible for a lot of lives out there. Yeah,
yeah, but also felt very secure in what I was doing because I knew every detail of what I needed to know to handle that job. And I was proud of it, that I knew carriers that well. I was a real expert on aircraft carriers. And not bragging. I was just proud of the fact that I knew aircraft carriers inside and out.
Where do you see the Navy headed in the future? I mean, obviously, aircraft carriers are an important role, especially in the conflicts that we're in right now, the two wars that we're in. They're not going anywhere. I mean, we still need to have carriers and a presence at sea.
They'll be around forever, I believe.
And what do you want people to really take away when they hear this, when they hear you? What do you want people to what do you want people to really know and understand? I mean, obviously, you were a heck of a carrier commander and a great aviator, but...
The power of a carrier to influence the outcome of problems around the world. Have you ever noticed that when a little trouble breaks out someplace, an aircraft carrier shows up?
They always do, don't they?
And it has it has a tremendous calming effect.
I like that.
On a lot of people.
I like that.
And they stop and think it out and they say, hey, let's don't do something stupid with this carrier sitting here. Because that carrier can wipe us out, particularly since they went nuke. You know, the ship has tremendous volumes to hold fuel for the ship itself and for the aircraft in the ship.
Right.
Now, when they went nuke, a nuclear carrier doesn't need any of that space. Mm-hmm. So guess what? He's got all that extra space available for fuel for his airplanes. And that makes him a hell of a weapon. He can last forever out there without any support.
Right.
And people don't realize that. The carrier, the nuclear carrier now, is an awesome machine right now. It's a tremendous asset. And as far as it's an asset to the Navy and asset to our military.
Yeah. You know, you've been flying your entire life now. Looking back, any lessons for young pilots out there who might be listening to this from an old and wise pilot?
Well, I can say one thing. I was never sorry that I stayed in the Navy and made a career out of it. I don't think there was anything more better that I could have done with my life than to do that. And I was good at it, and I enjoyed doing it. That's probably why I stayed. But at the time, I didn't realize that I was learning about one of the most powerful weapon systems in the world, and a very, very important weapon system to our U.S. military.
And still is today, in fact.
The power of an aircraft carrier is awesome. Absolutely awesome.
We need to pause for a quick break, but when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Admiral Freeman.
This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for WIX Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with a rebroadcast throughout the week. You've been on the WIX Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. WIX wants to hear from you. Again, that's WIX Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of AeroCinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Galland pilots us through the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Galland to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
And the population is suffering in such a terrible way that we have a good weapon. We have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend, Adolf Galland, the fighter general.
live from the land of the free, because of the brave. This is Warbird Radio.
Welcome back. On this episode of Warbird Radio Presents, we're talking to retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral DeWitt Freeman. Last year, Admiral Freeman's grandson, Matt Freeman, a U.S. Naval Academy graduate and U.S. Marine Corps Harrier and C-130 pilot, was killed in Afghanistan. We pick up now with Admiral Freeman's story here.
My grandson volunteered to go over to... He was in an aircraft squadron out in Okinawa. Mm-hmm. He volunteered to do a tour of duty in Afghanistan. And that's how he ended. He wound up over there and fooling around, and he got shot and killed in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So, needlessly, I think. He didn't have any damn business being out there.
Yeah.
He wasn't a professional rifleman, but all Marines are trained on a rifle. Mm-hmm. You can't be in the Marine Corps without being trained on a rifle.
Right.
And so Matt knew that, but Matt was young. He's 29 years old, and he went over there. Sure as hell, he got shot and killed. Mm. So, about a year ago.
Your family's given an awful lot to this nation, and yeah. I just want you to know that all of us, and we thank you for it, and we honor you for your service. And I hope that when people hear this, they hear the sound of your voice, they'll run out and buy a copy of your book, for one, so they can really learn about not only you, but also your family.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, those books are selling pretty cheap now. So I was going to sell them for 20. I've knocked them down to $5. So,
how can folks get a copy of it if they want one, Admiral? How can people get a copy of this if they want
it? They can come by the airport here, and Dawn has all of them available. And if she picks up their name, I'll even sign it for $5.
Admiral Freeman, thanks for spending some time with us today.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One lady who knows Admiral Freeman better than most is Dawn Howard. Ms. Howard works with the Admiral at the Louisa County Airport. She started out as a secretary and today is running the whole show. Here now is Ms. Howard, reflecting on what it's been like working with Admiral Freeman.
It's been a true learning experience and a privilege. And the Admiral is the one person that's always said, I believe in you. Mm. He's a true motivator. He knows all the right things to say at all the right times.
Yeah. And you've done a lot here. I mean, the airport's growing. And, of course, I think he's looking out at the airplane out there right now. Maybe he'll take it around. You never know. But what's it been like? Share some stories with us, if you don't mind.
Well, I'd say that the Admiral has four great loves of his life. His country, that he spent 32 and a half years protecting our country. This airport, 31 and a half years, free of charge. Mm. He even brings his own copy paper in. And his family. He tells me stories over and over again how incredibly proud he is of his family. And lastly, the fourth would be friends. Mm. Those of us that are blessed to have entered his world and one of his true chosen friends, there's nothing in the world that the man wouldn't do for us.
Yeah. You've enjoyed being out here, I guess. How did you get interested in aviation and become an airport manager, Don?
Back in 1990, there was an ad in the paper for a secretary, and I learned your intricate business, and after a while, I worked Admiral Freeman out of a job. I started doing all the paperwork, and he realized he was signing off on my work, and then they kept promoting me until I got the top-notch spot of airport manager.
Well, and you're doing a great job. I heard the air show was a real success. When is the next air show coming up here?
20th annual, September 3rd, 2011.
And I bet Admiral Freeman will be here.
You bet. He'll be doing his normal announcing.
Yeah. He also mentioned, and I want to make sure we plug this, if folks would like to get a copy of the book, they can probably call the airport, I'm sure. Is that the best way to go about doing it?
Absolutely. Drop by 7 days a week. We have the book available. We've marked it down to $5 per book. Or you can contact me directly, and I'll be happy. The mailing is on us. We'll be happy to ship it to you free of charge.
Okay. Dawn, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
To get a copy of Admiral Freeman's book, A Life in Three Elements, Recollections of a Naval Aviation Cadet, just use the contact info in the story post for this show. That's all the time we have for this episode, but stay tuned. There's more Warbird Radio coming up right after this.